السلام عليكم ورحمة
الله.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So today is the 89th session, inshallah, of Khatam al-Nabiyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just a quick review, we talked about the expedition of Dawmat al-Jandal, and then we went into the expedition of Banu Mustaliq, also known as Muraysi'. So these were the two expeditions that took place in the fifth year of Hijri. In Banu Mustaliq, we talked about how Harith ibn Abi Darar, the leader of that tribe, he was planning an attack on the Muslims. And after the Prophet ﷺ had verified the intelligence, the Prophet ﷺ launched a surprise attack on them in the morning hours. And there was only a few arrows shot, and the battle ended very quickly. On the Muslim side, there was only one casualty. Okay, on the Muslim side, there was only one casualty, and this was actually from friendly fire. It was from accidental, issues, where one of the Ansar, he accidentally killed Hisham ibn Sababa radiallahu anh, thinking that he was from the enemy. So Hisham ibn Sababa radiallahu anh, from the Muhajirin, and the Ansari thought that he was from the enemy, so he killed him. And later on, Miqyas, who was the brother of Hisham, he actually came to Medina Munawwara claiming to be Muslim. So he proclaimed Islam, and he was actually given by the Prophet ﷺ, was given 100 camels as blood money for the accidental killing of his brother. So after he was given this this large amount of wealth, which is, you know, you become instant millionaire basically if you get 100 camels. It's a lot of money. So he took that, and that same night he went and he secretly killed the Ansari who had killed his brother. So he found out, he went to Medina, acted like he was Muslim for a while. He found out which of the Ansar had killed his brother. And then after giving the blood money, the 100 camels, he went and murdered this Ansari out of revenge for his brother. And then he took the 100 camels and ran back to Makkah. So this was basically, he planned this whole event, or planned this whole thing. And later on, we know that in the battle, or not the battle, but the Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, the Prophet ﷺ actually ordered that this man, Miqyas, he was one of those that was not to be forgiven. And he was one of those that was to be killed on sight. Wherever you find him, kill him. And even the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that even if you see them holding on to the astar of the Kaaba, if they see them holding on to the Kiswa or to the Kaaba itself, holding on to the Kaaba itself, then kill the person anyways, because that person has done something that was unforgiven. So because of his treachery, he was actually killed in Fath Makkah. Okay, we also talked about Harith. So the Harith was the leader of the tribe of Banu Mustaliq, and we talked about how his daughter, he had ran away, so he got away, was not captured, but his daughter Juwayriya bint Harith radhiyallahu anha, she was one of those captive, and we talked about how she was, I think it was Thabit ibn Qais radhiyallahu anhu, she was a part of his spoils, you could say, as a slave. And then she came to the Prophet ﷺ, asking the Prophet ﷺ to help her in paying off the money that was made for her, or was agreed upon for her release. Okay, the mukataba money that was given to her. So she asked the Prophet ﷺ for this. The Prophet ﷺ gave her a better option and said, "What if you are freed? I pay your money, and you are freed, and then you marry me," meaning marry the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, this is the leader's daughter and a high-ranking, you say, person in the tribe. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had married her, all the captives were set free. And the reason behind this is because the Sahaba said that these captives of ours are the in-laws of the Prophet ﷺ through Juwayriya radhiyallahu anha. So because of that, how can we keep them as captives? So they were all given freedom. The whole tribe, excuse me, the whole tribe became Muslim. And also Harith ibn Abi Darar, He also, when he came back, he did not know what's going on at that point. He came back to pay the ransom. He talked about how he hid two of his most expensive camels behind in a valley somewhere. He tethered them, tied them down there. And he came to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ informed him that what you left those two camels behind, and that on that he became Muslim himself, because he knew that there was no one else there, no one knew about this, these two camels except himself. Now, about Juwayriya radhiallahu anha, she became one of the Ummahat al-Muslimin, of Mu'mineen, one of the mothers of the believers. And Juwayriya radhiallahu anha, she's known, well known for her piety, and well known for her dhikr, that she would do extensive dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give a lot of sadaqah and charity and whatnot. And it was said about her, about the ayah in Surah Ahzab, وَذَاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَاكِرَاتٍ, that she was one amongst those who would pronounce the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immensely. And there's a famous hadith in Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Juwayriya radhiallahu anha, that she says that one day I was sitting after praying the Salat al-Fajr prayer, I was sitting on the Musalla and she was doing dhikr. So she said, "Kharaja min indina bukratan hina salla subh." So the Prophet ﷺ left us after praying the Fajr prayer, and she said that I was wahiya fi masjidiha. She was sitting in her Musalla or her masjid, and she was doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم رجع بعد أن أدحى وهي جالسة. So the Prophet ﷺ came after hours later, when it was Salat al-Duha time. Okay, so a couple of hours later, the Prophet ﷺ returned, and she's still in that same state, sitting in her musalla, doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ said to her, that مَا زِلْتِ عَلَى الْحَالَ الَّتِي فَارَقْتُكِ عَلَيْهَا, that you didn't move from this position, you're still in that same spot where I left you when I left. And she says, "Na'am, I've been doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala since you left." And the Prophet says that لَقَدْ قُلْتُ بَعْدَكَ, that I have said a dhikr, I have said something after I left you, that أَرْبَعَ كَلِمَةً, so I said these four words or four sentences, ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ, I said these four sentences three times. And لو وزنت بما قلتي منذ اليوم لوزنتهن. The Prophet ﷺ said that whatever you have been reciting since the morning, the tasbihat and all the dhikr that you have done, I have recited four sentences, three times. And these four sentences, if they were weighed against what you have been reciting since the morning, they will outweigh them, meaning they will be more beneficial than them, and more in weight than them. And then the Prophet went on to tell her, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa ridha nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimati. So these are the four sentences, or four tasbihat you could say. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa ridha nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimati. Very simple. We can memorize it within a couple minutes. You say these four kalimat, and you say them three times in the morning, and they will be equivalent to hours of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, there's different timings where some deeds are more beneficial than others. And, you know, for example, like dua, we know that on Friday, during the Jummah khutbah, when the imam is sitting between the two khutbahs, and after Asr all the way to Maghrib, these are times where du'as are accepted. Also, we'll talk about that inshallah in Bayt al-Khandaq, but for example, on Wednesday between Dhuhr and Asr, this is the time where du'as are specially accepted. So there's different times where some things are more beneficial than others. And again, the Prophet ﷺ has told us these things, these timings and these words, and what to say during these times. And this is one of them. So if we say these things, these four kalimat three times in the morning, it's equivalent to hours of dhikr. Now, that doesn't mean that what the dhikr that she has been doing is useless, or, you know, we should not sit for hours at a time or a long period of time doing the dhikr of Allah. What this means is that there are certain times, certain hadith the Prophet ﷺ has taught us, that we should say those in those times. And when we say them in those times, they will give us even extra reward, even more reward. So if we're doing a wird in the morning, or we're sitting after Fajr doing the dhikr of Allah, this is one of those things that we should include in our adiyah, inshallah ta'ala. Now, going on after the battle, took place. The Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba are on their way back to Medina Munawwara. Now, at one of the stops, when they stopped to camp and to rest, a fight broke out between the Muhajirun and the Ansar. And basically what happened was a Muhajir by the name of Jahjah radiallahu anh, and another an Ansari by the name of Sinan ibn Wabar Jahani radiallahu anh, these two Sahaba went to a well to take out water. Now when they went to the well, they went and they kind of, you know, got there at the same time, and one of them said basically they wanted to get the water first. And this small thing like this became louder when it became even bigger when Jahjah radhiallahu anhu, he actually kicked the Ansari. He kicked him, and then they called out. They basically, the scuffle happened, and Jahjah radhiallahu anhu, when he kicked the other Sahabi, then they all called out. So the Muhajir, he started calling out, Ya lal Muhajirin, oh the Muhajirin, come and help me. I need help. And then the Ansari said, Ya lal Ansar, you guys come and help me. So they called out, the people gathered, and it was about to be a huge fight. So this thing between two men, these two Sahaba, could have became a huge fight. When the people were calling and the people had gathered, the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he heard about this and heard what they were saying. And he commented, he said, ما بال دعوة الجاهلية. What is this دعوة الجاهلية? What is this slogan of the Jahiliya times that I'm hearing? Why are people calling towards their own tribes or their own people? And why are you leaving the fact that you guys are brothers in Islam and you're basically about to fight each other? You're about to have this dispute, a huge dispute amongst each other, based on your tribes and based on your affinity to your tribes, right? So they were gonna do that. Now, the Prophet ﷺ was told what had happened. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Da'uha fa'innaha muntina," that leave this, for verily it is nasty or disgusting or smell has a foul smell. So the Prophet ﷺ said this regarding this fight that was about to take place. And when the Sahaba heard what the Prophet ﷺ had said, they immediately lost everything, their anger. They left their anger, they left anything that they were about to do, and they went back, they dispersed, they went back to their tents. So again, this shows, you know, the iman that the Sahaba had, that even though they were getting riled up in this and they were about to fight, but as soon as they realized their mistake, and remember, Sahaba were not ma'soom. The Anbiya and Mursaleen are ma'soomeen, meaning they're protected from any kind of sin, but the Sahaba were humans, and a lot of times, they've done things, and then we know that they have the tawfiq of doing tawbah, and their tawbah was so strong that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them, and it was not a trace of that sin left in that. And this is a lesson for us, for the generations to come, that even the Sahaba, they did make mistakes, but then the tawbah was so strong. For example, that Sahabi that had done zina, and when they were stoning him to death, one of the Sahaba, I believe it was Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, or maybe Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, his clothes got some blood on it, and he said something that, you know, look at this, look at he's done to my clothing, or he said something like this was said, and the Prophet ﷺ said that don't say that, because if his tawbah was spread out amongst all of the Muslims, then it would basically forgive everyone. Everyone would go to Jannah. That he has done such a strong tawbah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven him for this. So again, the Sahaba made this mistake, but as soon as they realized their mistake, they did tawbah, they went back, and there was no quarrel left. Now, I mentioned how a lot of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, had joined this expedition, knowing that there's a large number of Muslims going out, and they almost certainly knew that they're going to win the battle. So they joined so they can get the spoils and whatnot. Now, when the leader of the Munafiqeen, this is the Ra'is al-Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he was actually in that battle also. He was also part of this expedition. He heard about what happened and the altercation that happened between the Muslims and between these two Sahaba. So he couldn't keep his mouth shut, and he said some very disturbing or very inappropriate words, which actually revealed the kufr that he had hiding or hidden within himself. And these words he said, "Sammin kalbak ya'kulk." He said that this reminds me of the saying that what you have done with the Muhajirin. So he's basically talking to the Ansar, he's talking to his group of people, and he's saying to them, and this is the gathering that he's saying, and he's talking to his people. So he says to them that I'm just going to blame you guys for this, because this is like you guys brought in, open your doors to the Muhajirin, and this is like the saying that sam min kalbak ya'kulk, that you fed in your dog until it eats you. I mean, you feed the dog, and then one day it comes and it bites you or eats you. And na'udhu billah. So he said this, and he's referring to the Muhajirin. He's referring to the Prophet ﷺ and the Muhajirin. And then he went on to say, "Ama wallah, la'in raja'na ila al-Madina, la yukhrijanna al-azzu minha al-adhal." So he says that I swear that when we go back to Medina, or when we get back to Medina, then I swear that the most Aziz is the most honored amongst the people will certainly kick out or banish the ones who are adhal, the ones who are humiliated and the ones who are lowly. So he said that ma hada ma fa'altum bi anfusikum, this is what you have done to yourself. Basically, he's blaming his people. He said, "This is what you did to yourself." And he says that you opened your lands, waqasam tumuhum amwalakum, and you split your money and you gave your money, parts of your wealth, you gave it to these muhajirin. And he says that if you stop spending on them, he's basically commanding them that stop, la tunfiqu alayhim, stop spending on them, on the muhajirin, and you'll see that they will leave min hawlik. That they will leave you. That if you stop spending on them, you'll see that that's the only reason why they're staying around. They'll leave right away. So we need to stop spending on the Muhajirin, and we'll see that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, the Muhajirin, will leave us and they won't bother us anymore. Na'udhu billah. So this is the words that he had said. And Sayyid ibn Arqam, radiallahu anhu, was a small boy at that time. He was amongst those present. Okay, so he was there in that gathering. He heard the words of Abdullah ibn Ubay, and after the gathering was over, he went straight to the Prophet ﷺ and informed of what informed him of what was said in the gathering. Now, one thing to a side note to understand is that there are whenever we're in a majalis, whenever you're sitting in a majalis, and this applies to WhatsApp groups, WhatsApp messages, private messages, all that stuff, text messages, everything. That al-majalis bil-amana. The Prophet has taught us that majalis gatherings are a trust. Bil-amana, meaning they are a trust. And any time when you're sitting in a gathering, when you're speaking, you're not supposed to go and divulge or disclose what was said or talked about in that gathering to others. But then there are times where it is allowed. There are times where there's an exception to that rule, and there is allowed to disclose what was said, and this was one of them. So there's a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, this is Sunan Abi Dawud, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-majalis bil-amana," meetings are confidential, except three types of meetings, or three things that were talked about, those for the purpose of shedding blood unlawfully, or committing fornication, or acquiring property unjustly. So if someone was planning to attack someone or hurt someone, then that basically can be disclosed and that can be told, and actually you're supposed to go in and tell someone about that. Okay, so there's unless there's harm in disclosing or what that was talked about, then otherwise you're supposed to keep it a secret. Okay, going on. So Umar Radhan, when he heard, he was there present, and he heard what Zayd ibn Arqam had said, and about what Abdullah ibn Ubay had said in the gathering, he became furious, and he actually asked permission to take the head of Abdullah ibn Ubay with his famous words. And this is more than one occasion he said these words, and he says, "Qala Umar Radhan," so Umar Radhan says, "Da'ni adribu unuqa hadha al-munafiq." Give me permission, Ya Rasulullah, and let me go and cut off the head, or let me go take the head of this munafiq. And Rasulullah responded by saying, "Da'hu, leave him. La yatahaddathu an-nas anna Muhammadan yaqtulu ashaba." I don't want the people to say that Muhammad he's referring to himself, kills his own companions. Because people won't know the situation, they don't know the background to the story and what's going on. So if the people hear that he killed his own follower, this will spread and it will become like a misunderstanding amongst the people. So he said, leave him. But the Prophet said, لَا وَلَكِنْ أَذِّنْ بِالرَّحِيلِ. But instead, go and tell the people, we're leaving. He said, we're going to march, we're going to move. Now, these words of Umar Radan, da'ni adribu unaka had al munafiq, he said this on multiple occasions in similar situations like this. There's a famous incident where Zayd ibn Sun'a, he was one of the famous Jewish rabbis of Medina Munawwara, and the hadith is related by Tabarani. Abdullah ibn Salam Radan narrates the hadith. And Zayd ibn Sun'a himself, he narrates the hadith. He was actually, he said that I was in Medina one day. He was living in Medina, but he said one day I was near the Haram, Medina, Masjid Nabawi in Medina. And he says that the Prophet ﷺ was approached, and Ali Radan was also there. He said he was approached by a man from the nearby tribes who had asked the Prophet ﷺ for help. And basically, if I remember correctly, there was some drought that had happened during that time, and the Prophet ﷺ was being asked, can you give us some funds and some money so I can go and give it to the people, because they have recently become Muslim, and if they see that after Islam, they'll take it as a bad omen or bad luck that after we became Muslim, this drought occurred and we were going hungry. So he said, I don't want them to start thinking like this, so can you give me some funds so I can go and give it to them? The Prophet asked Ali Radan, is there anything left in Baytul Mal? And Ali Radan said, there's nothing left. There's no food left. Okay. So the Prophet says, then he starts thinking, like, what are we going to do? And at this moment, Zayd ibn Sun'a, he found his opportunity. So he was listening to this conversation. So he comes close and he says that, I heard you guys speaking. And he says that, I have money, I have dates. I have dates. And what I can do is, I can give it to you, I can sell it to you, and you pay me later. So you pay me in a couple months when you have the money or on a certain date. And the Prophet ﷺ agrees to this. They take the dates from him and they send it to that tribe. Now, Zayd ibn Sun'a, he says that a couple of days before the due date. So just say, for example, today is what, 18th? 18th, right? September. So just say, for example, it was due on the 21st of September. So Zayd ibn Sun'a goes to the Prophet ﷺ, and there was a janazah that took place. And then after the janazah, the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with the Sahaba. Zayd ibn Sun'a goes 3 days earlier than the due date. He grabs the Prophet ﷺ by his clothing, and he shakes the Prophet ﷺ and says that, give me my money. Where's that money you owe me? And I know you people and your family, that basically you guys don't pay on time. So he says that, give me my money and pay me back. Now at that point, there's one of the riwayas that where he looked over at Umar bin Khattab radhan, and he says that his eyes were spinning. He was out of anger and furious. He was so furious, his eyes were spinning, that how dare this person come and say this to the Prophet ﷺ and grab the Prophet ﷺ like this. So Umar Radan says these famous words. He says, give me permission, let me take his head. That how dare he say something like this. The Prophet ﷺ calmly turns over to Umar Radan. He says that, leave that, why did you say that? So I owe him money, so it would have been better for you to advise me to pay back the money, and it was better for you to tell him not to ask for the money in this way. That this is inappropriate to ask for your money in this way. So then the Prophet ﷺ orders Umar Radan, says, take him and go to the Bayt al-Mal and give him his due, his whatever is owed to him, and give him extra 20 sa'a. Give him extra, which is about 45 kilos, I think, somewhere around there. So give him extra 20 sa'a of dates because you have frightened him, because you scared him. Because when you said those words, he was taken aback, like, I'm about to get killed. So Umar Radan takes this man, and they go to the Baytul Mal, he gives him it. And Zayd ibn Sun'a, he says to Umar Radan that, Araftani, that you recognize who I am? And he says, no, like, who are you? And he says that, I am Zayd ibn Sun'a. And Umar Radan says, Zayd ibn Sun'a, "You're that rabbi?" And so he goes, "Yes, I'm that same rabbi that you're referring to." He says that, "How could you talk to the Prophet ﷺ like this? The way you acted, the way you did things, how could you do something like that? You know, you're an intelligent man. You're a educated, you're not a Badu, you're not from a Bedouin or anything like that. You're an intelligent man. How could you do like this? How could you say something like this?" And he says that, "Actually, I was testing the Prophet." So he tells Umar Adhan that, "I've seen all the characteristics of the Prophet that were found in their books, in the Torah, in the books of their, you know, the Jews' books." And he says that, "Except there was two characteristics that I was waiting for." And he says that one is that his forbearance, his hilm, his forbearance will precede his rashness. And number two, that his forbearance would increase upon encountering excessive rashness. So if you, first of all, his hilm, his forbearance would precede him becoming upset, that's one. And number two, is that the more you say inappropriate things to the Prophet ﷺ, the more his hilm will increase, his forbearance will increase. So he said, "I didn't see these signs, so I wanted to test the Prophet ﷺ, and this is the test that happened." So he said, "This is basically what happened." And then he said the Shahada. And then Umar then took him back to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said the Shahada in public in front of everyone. And then the story was told that he was actually testing the Prophet ﷺ. And so again, that was one of the incidents. There was another incident, I believe it was in the Battle of Hunain, after the spoils were being split. And one of the men said that, he says to Rasulullah ﷺ that, "You're not splitting up the money equally. You're not doing justice." And the Prophet ﷺ became red in anger, and his face changed, and he said that "Who will do justice if it's not for me? Who will do justice if it's not for me?" And so that was another occasion where Umar Adhan said these famous words. Anyways, going back, so Abdullah ibn Ubay, he was summoned by the Prophet ﷺ and to ask, "Did you actually say these things? We heard these things." And he actually swore in front of the Prophet, into the face of the Prophet ﷺ. Again, he has no iman, he's a munafiq. Okay, not even thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the Prophet ﷺ what I'm thinking and what I'm, you know, what I'm hiding. But he swears in the face of the Prophet ﷺ, he swears, "I had said no such thing. I didn't say anything like this." So some of the Sahaba that were present, who didn't know about the nifaq of Abdullah ibn Ubay, they actually started saying to the Prophet that, you know, that was Zayd ibn Arqam is a small boy. Maybe he misunderstood what was said, and you know, he's a small boy, and he misheard or misunderstood what was said. So the Prophet remained silent, and Zayd ibn Arqam himself, we'll learn this next week, inshallah, that he says, "I started getting depressed thinking that the Prophet thinks I'm a liar." And we'll talk about that, inshallah, next week. So one more thing I want to mention is that after this, the Prophet ﷺ ordered the Muslims to march. So one of the reasons, the hikmah behind this, the wisdom behind this, was that to make them forget of the altercation that happened between the Muslims, and to forget about the gathering and what was said in the gathering, and you know, so the fitna can subside and die down. So it was not the usual time of the Prophet ﷺ to go out to travel, you know. So there are certain times of the day when they would travel, when they would stop and rest. And it wasn't one of those times, but the Prophet ﷺ said, "Let's move, let's march." So they continued marching that whole night, the next day, and then they started continuing marching. And when they finally stopped to rest, that's when they were basically, they like fell down and just went to sleep. They didn't even have any time to talk amongst each other or, you know, discuss what happened. So they went to sleep immediately. So there's a couple more things that I want to talk about next week, inshallah, about this. We'll talk about the revelation of Surah Munafiqun. And then after that, from the same expedition, comes the Ifk, the infamous incident of the Ifk, where they slandered our mother Aisha radhiallahu anha. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks, inshallah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.